Are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, community spirit, all six areas of the healthful living model, and you can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and healthful living advocate with Healthful Living, and I'm here today with my co-host.
I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant.
And on today's show, we're going to be investigating our favorite subject, reality, and the nature of reality, and even more deeply, truth, the nature of truth. And we'll do our best to make it as palatable as possible, but we have an expert in the studio today, and I'm going to, friends of ours visiting in from Wisconsin, just flew in this morning, and past guests on the show. I'll allow Julie to introduce our guests.
Well, we're very excited. We have Dr. John Hicks on. He's an MD specializing in chronic illness and autism and a pediatrician as well. And we are also here with his wife, Betsy Hicks. And we've actually had him on the show before and are thrilled to have him back. We're going to talk about the light topic of quantum physics and truth and all sorts of really exciting topics today and how it relates to ourselves as individuals and us as a collective and the nature of our reality. And all sorts of really amazing things like that. And, of course, how it involves healing and in all areas of the human experience. So,
well, that's precisely our intent here on Healthful Living, is to be providing knowledge that helps empower individuals' choice with respect to how they are being in the world and what is manifesting in their lives in all realms, most particularly health, and health being the core component of the Healthful Living model. Yes, and the nurturance of health in all six areas of life. And we bring that forward through the seed of life, which is the initiation of all change, of all life, the manifestation of all things. And there's tremendous power in understanding this broader notion of, and we say it loosely but deeply, this interconnectedness of everything. Yeah, we've talked about this a lot on the show. So I'm just so fascinated to delve deeper into this subject of quantum physics and how this deep understanding that we're gaining through science is connecting with spirituality. It's connecting with really putting all the pieces together in our knowledge of the nature of the universe and how that helps us to apply that to our lives, our growth, and to our health. So welcome to the show, Dr.
Thank
John
you.
Hicks.
Thank you very much.
And Betsy, of course.
I'll just sit here in the background.
Okay.
So where shall we begin? I mean, quantum physics is a place to begin, but truth is a larger subject. So perhaps we should begin a little bit just explaining what we mean by quantum physics, because the term is thrown around a lot. And then perhaps we can kind of segue into this. We can broaden it from there.
Okay. Well, if you look at quantum physics, what quantum physics is saying is that everything is interconnected. There is no such thing as time. That time is really linked in with space. So it's a space-time continuum, and that we exist at this point when everything exists now, and everything is connected now. So our past, our present, our future are now. So living in the moment, being here now, is everything.
Now, that notion's been around a long time. Ram Dass, right, wrote the book, Be Here Now. Eckhart Tolle, many, many people talking about being here now.
All right, so from if you look at what quantum physics has brought to this, is what quantum physics has proved is everything is interconnected. And a small piece change here simultaneously changes over here.
There's a lot of interesting studies and things that have been done. Can you explain any of those to people so they can get an idea?
Well, I think one of the biggest pieces was, to me, what started to really make a lot of sense was you take an atom and you split it in half, and one side, the electron, one side spinning one way, one's the other, and you reverse one, and simultaneously the other one shifts spin. And they can be 1,000 miles apart. a million miles apart. But so what that tells us is the speed of light isn't the fastest that there is. Hmm. Because there is, you can, it is instantaneous.
Instant. So as if they are, I say as if, you're going to correct me on that, as if they are connected.
As if they are connected, right.
But they are in fact connected.
Well, they are.
And
energetically, they are connected.
Mm. And that there's 1,000 miles in between is just simply something that I'm noticing or observing or is not really relevant?
Well, it's really just not there at all, really. It's, yeah, there's a, you can say there's 1,000 miles, but what's 1,000 miles? It's nothing.
Just something that's coming up for me just real quick. I wanted you've had these experiences where, for example, you hit your elbow and you're about to knock something off the counter, but you catch it, and it doesn't fall and break. But in your mind, in a split second, somehow you processed 27 iterations of what might have just happened. Right. It fell, it broke, it stained the carpeting, your mom's going to be mad at you, you hit your foot, all those things, but none of them actually happened.
Right.
But somehow your mind processed.
All right, so
is that have anything to do with what we're talking about?
Yes, it does, because your mind can process millions of pieces of information a second. So what may have happened, and this is how thought works, you can have a thought about something, and it doesn't even really have to happen. But it did happen.
Mm.
So when you think it, it happens.
Mm.
So, therefore, everything is now.
Everything is now.
Okay.
So, energetically, how do we connect to that?
Mm-hmm.
And then how from a healthful situation, how do we use that? Hmm. So then what you have to start to look at is, what is it you believe? Because if you believe it, it becomes your truth.
Hmm.
And now you're invested in that. So what are the beliefs about yourself if you're sick and want to be healed? I mean, that's the whole piece with dis-ease and illness. So what do you believe? Is that possible in your belief system? If it isn't, it won't happen.
Right.
You have to believe it. And that means believe it to the core.
Now, a belief can even overcome, I think we've mentioned this somewhere before, about the power of belief is so much so that it can overpower, like a pharmaceutical, for example. Someone can take a drug that's supposed to have an effect in their body, but if their mind is absolutely certain that it's not going to,
the mind will
overpower them.
Right. So that's the power of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That, you know, you take a drug and you don't get the effect. Why didn't you get that effect?
Right.
Because you thought you wouldn't.
Or even the opposite. The opposite of...
Right.
Well, you know you're going to get an effect.
Well, like,
and the drug doesn't really do it.
Right.
It's your knowledge.
Well, it's the placebo. You know, they talk about that. But what is that really? That's what you think. You know, we had company over and we were kidding around and saying, okay, we're all going to be really silly tonight. And we put that intention out. We put that intention in the water. And it turned out to be just a stupid, silly night.
Yeah.
Nobody drank, but it was like everybody was in this silly high.
Euphoria.
Yeah.
Euphoria.
Yeah.
And it's, so what is it you intend? You create everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where so many of us sort of get confused, and you create it by what you believe.
Right. You know, people have often poo-pooed placebo. Right? They say, oh, it's a placebo, as if it's just out of thin air that this is happening. So there, and because we can't attribute it to something that we did, either in the drug or the element or something, that therefore it's just out of the blue. But what we're really learning is that 50% of the time XYZ works on placebo, that's because our mind is doing that work.
Right. You're
and
thinking
we can be
that
using
thought.
That.
Right. So we should use that. You know, it's like... you're empowering, you know, and that's really what we're all about. How do we bring that power to each person to help themselves get well?
Mm-hmm.
So now what you have to do, you brought up the word truth. Well, what is the truth in what you believe? you know, when we're little, we download all this stuff, and we believe it's true. We're told by our parents, our teachers, and this. You don't really question that until you get older. And hopefully you do start to question that and start to ask, well, what is now my truth? What is it that I believe? What things that I believe that worked when I was 4 years old don't work anymore? You know, things change. So is that still right for me to believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Because now I've invested my faith in that. I've invested my intention that that is true. And if it isn't, I've lost that intention. I've lost that faith. It's tied up in that false belief.
What are some common beliefs or belief systems that, people are getting caught into that are very deleterious to their health and well-being?
Well, number one, that you don't control your health.
You're
not responsible.
Well, right.
You are responsible.
Right.
You know, and then we're taught, oh, we can give you a pill and make you better. No, you can't. The pill doesn't make you better.
Or even just the piece of they blame everything on their genes. You know, my mom had diabetes, so of course I'm going to get it.
Mm.
That belief system starts in the second that their relatives have developed something.
And so then where do you retain that belief? That belief goes to every cell in your body.
Yeah.
So now your pancreas goes, oh, I guess I don't have to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get diabetes. Good. I'm out of here.
So then the mind then is the directing, like the CEO of all the cells in the body, right? I can use this metaphor. If the mind is then believing this, then all the cells are somewhat being consistent with that central processing in a way. Like you were just saying, if the mind is believing that I can't heal, that I'm not in charge, then the body is going to respond and sort of abdicate anyway its potential.
Right. And you put that. We all have the potential to heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that. We all are that. But we just don't know that. We don't believe that.
And why do we think that is? I mean, part of me really feels that judgment is so huge that if I were to believe that I were in charge of my own health, then I'd have to believe that I were responsible for my sickness.
That's right.
And then if you judge that as being bad, then that's too much.
But see, it's not judged. There is nothing that's bad. So what is that? Well, that illness is here to teach me something.
Mm.
What is it I need to learn so I can let it go?
It seems like our society, though, does a lot of that judging, which I think is one of the things maybe that prevents people from having some of these beliefs. Do you?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what we're taught.
Right.
You know, oh, this is pretty, this is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
What's pretty and ugly? I mean, what is that?
Right.
You know, this is good, this is bad. There is none of that.
Right.
It's that we are here and we are existing and we are here to learn. And things are brought to us in our life that assist us on our path and our learning journey, and we help other people.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that this is trying to teach me?
Right.
It's never the intention of the universe to hurt or to harm.
No.
Nothing, you know, we also know this notion, right? Life is not about the events that happen. It's about how we interpret them, what we do with them, mm-hmm. right? We've heard that one ad nauseum. But it's like, how do we eliminate in our understanding of things that nothing is going to show up that's intended to hurt us, right? Because we often play this mind trip. Oh, this happened. Oh, it's because of me. I'm bad, or I deserve it.
Right.
So therefore, oh, here we go again. Another bad thing coming to me.
Right. So and now you've created more bad things that reinforces your belief that you're creating bad things.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to break that belief. And now you have to say, all right, what is it I want to create? You know, that we're given this knowledge of how things work, but it's not true.
Hmm.
You know, we're taught how things are, but that's not really how they are. That's how they are. That's how they've agreed that they will be. And if you buy into that notion and you accept it and believe it, then it is now your truth.
Right.
But if you don't believe that and you don't accept it, then it's not your truth. You're not invested. And now you have your faith and intention that you can create what it is you want in this moment. And that's what you have to believe. That's
mm-hmm.
truth.
Mm-hmm. I would never believe You know, I would hear those things. That's just the way it is.
Right.
You know, just you take on my belief because I'm just telling you, well, why is this? How does it work? Right. Don't ask questions. It just is. Well, no, it isn't just is. I haven't experienced it that way.
Right.
So I'm not going to take on your belief system because you don't want to deal with the potential that something else might occur, which might make you uncomfortable because it wasn't predictable.
Right.
And I say, well, I am willing to deal with whatever shows up, so let me figure out what to believe on my own.
Right.
And that is not an inherently learned process by most people, I've figured out.
Right.
And even in my own life, the more and more that I deal with things and realize how much pressure there is to take on a belief or to take on an interpretation of something as just the way that it is. And I sense that we do that just because there's some certainty there.
Well, it's predictable.
It's predictable. Right. And then therefore we don't have to be, it somehow lessens our perception of being hurt.
Well, there's also comfort because mostly everybody else is believing the same thing. You then don't have to feel responsible if you go off on a tangent that ends up, quote, not being correct. You know, there's all this stuff associated. But if you just follow along with everybody else, then it's easy.
Oh, yeah. But like you were saying, John, though, that then we get caught in this, we believe negative stuff happens because of us, then negative stuff does happen, and then we reinforce our belief. Mm-hmm. So we get caught in this crazy pattern of getting positively reinforced for something bad happening. See, I knew that was going to happen, so I was right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was right that I deserve something crappy, and something crappy happens, so now I feel good about myself knowing that I'm crappy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it just gets caught in a cycle. So how, and I'm sure that there are people listening, and I'm sure that they're, whether they're dealing with a health situation, with a crappy relationship, or with crappy finances, whatever it is, stuck in a pattern of believing something and attributing something to themselves that we're saying has no real alignment to truth, how do we help to begin to take a chunk out of that, to begin to interrupt that and break
that
up?
Well, you sort of have to look at your situation and say, okay, what is it that I believe that contributes to this? And is that really true? You know, you take like, I'm going to have all this bad stuff happen to me because I was a bad kid. Well, what's a bad kid? That's all relative stuff. And you only believe you were bad because you were told by somebody else you didn't do what I wanted you to do, so you're bad.
Mm.
Mm.
All right. So were you a bad kid? Well, probably not. Because you just didn't do what they wanted you to do at that moment, so now they tell you that. Then, from that moment, you start to tell yourself that. And it gets to be the belief in every cell in your body that you're bad.
Mm.
All right, so how do we break that? Well, number one, you have to realize that you have to admit that you probably weren't bad. You just didn't do what they wanted you to do. Does that make you bad? No. That sort of makes you a free spirit. And now you get to choose what you want to believe.
Right.
So now let's choose that.
John, can we apply that to kind of what's going on today in the classroom and kids and the ADD stuff and all of that? And
all right. The way you learn things is you get your attention hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So I hook your attention and I'm the teacher and I say, okay, today we're going to do this. So if you start to pay attention, then this channel is opened. I give you information, and you take information.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So because I'm your teacher, you're going to believe everything that I tell you is true.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm not always teaching you fact, I'm teaching you subjective things also that I believe.
Mm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have attention deficit disorder, an interesting word to call that,
mm-hmm.
because you have to have attention hooked to get the information.
Mm.
Okay? So all the ADD kids aren't particularly paying attention to everything that's being said. Although they hear everything, they know it, but they're not investing in it to believe it.
Mm.
And if you don't believe it, you don't keep it.
Parents and teachers don't like that so much.
No, they don't.
It's a little threatening.
Well, it's very threatening. Because now you have someone that's saying, I don't absolutely believe everything you think is true,
mm-hmm.
and it makes everybody uncomfortable. Plus, they're not sitting in the little seat doing exactly what they're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
And their brain, a lot of these kids, they multitask, and they're seeing everything. They hear everything. And so they're picking up all this other information. So now they're going to base what they believe on everything they pick up. Well, it's not just what you wanted them to pick up. So now they may interpret what you said differently. They may interpret it the way it applies to them.
Right.
So does that make them wrong?
No.
No. It's just you're not... Society has a way they want you to be. And this is the way it's acceptable for these students to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't cooperate in this way, we're going to drug you so you will cooperate, or you just won't cause trouble. So when you look at who are the people, what do adults with ADD do? Well, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're creative, they're artists, they're all these things. So are those bad things?
Mm-mm.
No. It's just we're inconveniencing people in their job, and they don't like that.
Right, right. And we're also interrupting people's belief systems.
Right.
Parents might think you need to know X, Y, and Z in order to get a good job, and you're making me nervous and uncomfortable now. And a teacher might be saying, that's not the way that I do things. That's not going to get you successful because we have a method of how school should be done, and you're not meeting that. So,
right.
You know, and then you start disrupting the adults' belief right. systems.
Right. And the way that ADD kids tend to process things is the reverse, because a lot of them are right-brain thinkers.
Mm.
Okay? They're not left-brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right-brain thinkers tend to get the big picture and then work down to the detail unless they get bored.
Mm.
All right? Left-brain thinkers, if they're lucky, they may reach the big picture. Most never do.
Right.
They learn the details along the way, but then they can't expand that and apply it outside the box.
Well, because they get rewarded to get the answer correct.
Right.
They don't even necessarily get rewarded to get all the details correct and then apply it to something bigger outside
right.
the box. That's actually very often also not seen positively in school.
Right. Right. So you have these people that are trying to survive this, and their whole perspective is completely different.
Right, right. It's just the sad part to me on that one is that I know, you know, several adults now, and they're functioning adults, but pretty significantly traumatized to this day,
mm-hmm.
you know, some in their, let's see, 30s, 40s, and 50s, I know three of them, and they were all really traumatized by all of this because they were told that they were stupid and that
mm-hmm.
they were bad, and, you know, they have jobs and careers now, but they
mm-hmm.
certainly have things that they're still working on because of all of this programming and these beliefs that told them, because you didn't do it our way, you
right.
know, you're not really successful.
Right. And then you start to tell yourself that, and as an adult, you know, you flood that through your cells day after day, thousands of times. You tell yourself that over and over.
Right, right.
That I'm not worthy, I'm not good, I'm not smart, I'm not this, I'm not that. So your cells are 70% water. Those words have power. They change water.
Mm-hmm.
So now they change what's going on in your cells.
Sure.
Hmm. And it's really just, I mean, for me anyway, I think the thing that just, that hurts, the pain that I feel is when I see someone else, when I sense someone suffering and I get that it's because of what they believe and that their belief is inhibiting them from engaging their own capacity, from engaging their own then, you know, behaviors or really anything towards moving them towards a better situation, towards health.
Right.
I have this even in my own family, and I see where a belief about, and this is, gets to something we mentioned earlier, that the point that Julie mentioned, that people believe that their ability to heal is outside of them. It's in the hands of the doctor. The doctor's prescribing something. The doctor's doing something. Meanwhile, I'm not doing anything. I'm just hanging out. But it's in somebody else's hands. So
right.
they've abdicated, in a way, that responsibility, and their belief supports that abdication. You know, I don't know which came first necessarily, but they're not engaging so much of their capacity. And I'm wondering, are you seeing that type of a thing in a broader spectrum? Because I'm looking across America and we see all these epidemics and all this illness and all this stuff going on. Is an increasing percentage of that being attributed more and more to what we're doing in our minds about what we believe about our own abilities?
Well, I think that's awakening. Mm-hmm. And what's going on now is making people start to question. Mm. And traditional medicine is now being threatened by alternative or holistic or whatever you want to call it. Mm. Because now people starting to realize maybe all this stuff isn't what we should be doing. And maybe this really isn't the answer. You know, this drug, what does this drug do? Well, it relieves some symptoms. But what is the problem causing the symptoms? And if I alleviate that problem, then do the symptoms go away?
Mm.
So now sure. You have a solution.
Any idea why? I mean, to me as a critical thinker, that mm-hmm. seems like the most obvious thing. I've got a problem. What's the cause of the problem?
Right.
Yet these brilliant groups of people in the medical world don't really apply that logic on a daily basis.
Well, because that's not what you're trained to do. You're trained, you know, when I look back at medical school, what was it? You learn the symptoms, you learn this drug. They have the symptoms, you give them this drug. Hmm. This symptom, you give them this drug. Well, the critical piece of asking why are they having this over time has just been pushed into the background because of the pharmaceuticals, because of insurance. Hmm. It costs more to figure out why.
Right.
So is that profitable for the insurance companies? And you look at the drug companies. Well, if I put you on this drug and now you need it forever, what does that do to my bottom line?
Hmm.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. You know, and you look at the whole issue with vaccinations. That's an $8-plus billion a year industry.
Wow.
So is that going to back off? I don't think so, not as long as they're in charge of that.
Right. Hmm.
So it's it's another one of those things of what do you believe?
Right, right. And how are you taught? And what do we value in school? If we valued critical thinkers, then we'd probably have brilliant doctors and scientists coming up with all of these theories and possibilities and studying
all
of
this. You think about it, but it's very interesting in quantum physics. Who are the people that are doing this? It's engineers, you know?
Hmm.
It's all these people on the periphery, the physicists.
Hmm.
When it should be, the medicine should be waking up to this.
Right.
Because you look at the work that's done at Stanford. You know, Professor Dillard. I mean, he's done tremendous research into intention and healing and changing things. You know, you can change the DNA in flies. So you can change our DNA. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
By the intention.
Hmm.
So you turn things on and off. It's intention.
Right.
So just by pure intention, you can change things.
Now, there are, I would assume, components of physical biochemistry and other things that certainly, well, what do we say? Maybe belief is at the top and belief can override other things, I'm guessing. But would you also say that there are aspects of human health that, you know, there maybe are some people with true diagnosis of, you know, certain neurotransmitters not functioning optimally, maybe because of certain nutritional deficiencies or things. Are those factors and are those also important things?
So
where does that fit in?
So now you have to look at, okay, what are the issues and why is this? What's the cause?
Hmm.
I'm not getting the nutrition I need.
Right.
You know, this isn't working quite right, so how do I work on that? So you have to address all those pieces.
So it's a holistic approach.
Yeah, I think that's sort of what it boils down.
And we engage that with a belief that the body can heal and that all these different things can be remedied in some way if the body is provided what it needs to do what it's intended and built to do.
Well, and I think we weren't sent here to get things we couldn't take care of.
Hmm.
Mm.
So for every problem, there is an answer in your body. There is an answer, and it's there when the problem's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do I unlock this? and how do I activate that healing piece that's going to take care of that?
Well, that's a good question. Do you have an answer for that?
Well, I think a lot of that is what you believe is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is your true intention?
Mm.
You know, do you believe you can get well?
Right.
Do you have the power to focus your intention that I will be well and believe that?
So what do all of us do, those people that for X number of decades now have been trained and taught certain things, and we want, you know, I know so many people that they say, I don't want to have cancer. Of course I want to be better. But right. They don't necessarily believe it, and they've had all of these decades of this other. Where do right. people start? Where can they begin to change something? Some people, they're told, you know, not to follow what they feel, not to follow their intuition, that all of this other kinds of stuff is scary. So where can someone begin?
I think what I would suggest starting with is a book called The Four Agreements by Miguel Ruiz. And it starts to have you awaken looking for the truth. And what are the things you need to do to be truthful with yourself? Mm. And when you're truthful with yourself, then you're going to see truth.
I wanted to address, too, because I think some of the things that Julie were asking that I want to make sure that you're clear about, because you are a medical doctor. And when people come to your clinic, you don't necessarily say, okay, well, just think you're going to be well, pay me some money, see ya.
Right.
I mean, you actually are proactive about getting them well. And
right, and that's the piece of figuring out what's going on.
Right.
And we hit that, but we sort of flew over it. But, yeah, if something's going on, then what is it that's going on, and how do I address that issue? And number one, I think across the board, is good nutrition. You have to pay attention to what you're putting into your body, because that's what your body becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at organic things, you look at how food is, and there is food. It has nutrients, but it also has essence. And that's light. And we are light. And that feeds us. It's not just food. It's more than just food.
You know, one of the things that I've learned over time is that when I put my intention for something to heal, I sometimes then, it's not that I'm expected to figure out it out. I'm sometimes led to the person who can get me to heal.
Right.
So we have to be open to that as well, too.
Well, you can't put up any restrictions.
Right.
You know, the universe is a neat place. But when we say, okay, I want this better and it has to be this way, forget it. You've just restricted everything.
Mm.
What you have to say is, this is what I intend, this is what I want, and then back off and watch it happen. It may not be what you expect. It may not be the way you expect. But what is healing? Healing may be understanding why you have a problem, not getting rid of the problem. Okay? So what is healing? So you have cancer. Okay, you have cancer. Why do you have that cancer? Maybe you need to do an inward journey and go talk to those cells, and what are they telling you? And one of the biggest things that I see is all dis-ease is connected to emotion and a spiritual component. And those are energy, and they draw in other things. So until you get and deal with those pieces, you're not going to clear it.
Mm.
It's not going anywhere.
And then I'm assuming you're more susceptible to the physical things like the toxins or the deficiencies
right.
or the stresses. And
yeah, depending on what the emotion is, what organ it affects, what it does, it now pulls in harmonics. And harmonics are similar sounds that or energies that go together. If you think of music, and what you're doing now is building these huge harmonics.
Right.
And until you deal with the core of that, you're not going to be able to release that.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
Do things just happen?
I mean, to who?
To anyone. I mean, we'll say, oh, this disease, this cancer, this whatever, just happened. I just got it. I'm a victim, and that is
No, things don't just happen. Everything has a purpose. So what is the purpose? Is this to teach you something? Is this to help you? Or maybe it's to teach your family something. Or maybe it's to teach you something so you can now step out and help all these other people that have this cancer. I mean, you look at autism. How do you accept that? This is a gift. This is not a disease. These are not crazy kids that have all this stuff going on wrong with them. They're a gift. So how are they a gift to you? Because each person who has one of these children has to make a choice. Is this a punishment or is this a gift? And now, how do I take this gift, maximize it for me, and then maximize it for those around me? You know, a lot of times that's what sort of wakes some people up. You know, they're going along in this daydream that we call reality. That, you know, they're working 9 to 5, they're doing this, they're doing that. You know, and then all of a sudden this happens. Well, it doesn't just happen. So now, how do you view this gift? You know, it's now put you apart from everybody else. Except now it introduces you to a whole new set of people who have similar things going on in their lives. Now, how are you going to solve this? Or does it need to be solved?
And what is solved?
Right. Exactly.
That's something that really annoys me at a lot of the autism conferences is the consistent word of the consistent use of the word cure.
Yeah.
Just drives me insane. And even the radio show that I do for Voice America, they did the producer created the intro to it, and it says, you know, her son who's on his way to a cure or something like that.
It's recovering.
Like recovering. That's the word they like to use a lot too. And who's the one who has to be recovered, them or us? They're not domesticated. We are.
Well, it's natural that we want, you know, we've learned, right, these beliefs about the nature of the world, and this word cure conjures up for us an ending of pain.
Right.
Or is cure mean I don't have this anymore? Is that what a cure means? I mean, to a lot of people, that's sort of how they look at it.
Right.
I was cured of cancer. Well, I don't have the cancer anymore. I'm a 5-year survivor. I'm this, I'm that. But a lot of times people get hooked into the cure. Or I'm a diabetic. Or I'm this.
An alcoholic.
I'm an alcoholic. I mean, it becomes your world. That's not who you are.
Right, and that has to go away before you can be happy.
You have to move on, and you have to let it go.
Now, I was just thinking about something that's hopefully will come back to my mind in just a couple of quick seconds here about that subject of... Well, certainly, what I was sensing was where we're going here is this. My question was, are we all playing... Do you believe we're all playing, each of us is playing some sort of a role in this larger fabric that's unfolding for everyone, for all of life? You were saying before about how maybe such and such is showing up for this person to learn something in their family, and that's going to somehow affect other people, which will then mean that others will learn as a result of that person's experience, and that all this kind of somehow gets interconnected in some way.
Right, and the concept of the all is one concept and everything. And how does all, you know, how does the all is one and we are all...
So you think about if this changes, what happens? So let's talk about my stepson, Joey. He's autistic. All right. So Joey has been my teacher. I learned, number one, there are no cookie-cutter answers. Everything biomedical that had been could be done was done. The most improvement he'd had was with diet. And when I first met him, he was on 6 drugs. Mm. Just to keep him from killing himself. All right? So, now what do you do? Well, what happened was Joey was put into my life to teach me, number one, you can't depend on everything you've been taught. Mm. It's just knowledge. It is not wisdom. And the universe is much bigger and has more answers than we're ever going to figure out. And the universe will give you these answers. So today, Joey's on no medications. Mm. He's a happy guy. He loves life. He understands everything you talk to him about. And he started talking to us at 13.
Wow.
Well, and he recovered John and I.
Right. Mm. So Joey is why I do what I do. And he's why I've been able to help thousands of kids and adults from what I learned from Joey.
Mm.
So is that a gift? I have to see that as a gift. And my patients have to see that as a gift because Joey has helped them recover.
People so often, you know, they'll say, I have a hard time seeing such and such as a gift or a mm-hmm. positive thing in some way. Mm-hmm. And I often explain it because I look back at things that happened in my life and it's like eventually you're going to see how something served you. It's simply a matter of time, you know. At some point, and unfortunately for too many people, it's on their deathbed, right? They look back at something, I see now how that served me, what I learned from that, mm-hmm. right? So if we can somehow help ourselves realize that reality, that eventually we're going to realize the reason or
right.
how such and such of an experience served me or others or the universe in some way,
right?
How can we help bring ourselves back to that realization like now when it's happening? And
well, you have to realize that, number one, you're probably not going to understand what everything is today, why it's there. And you may not, for eons, understand the full implications of what has happened. And that's eons from our time perspective, sure. since sure. there isn't time.
And it's important, too, Martin, that when I think back as to the years where pre-John, because Joey was about 8 when John and I got together, and how there didn't look like there was anything happy or wonderful in my life. And life was scary and miserable with a child who screamed all the time, who was very, very severe. And I think back then, I even though I always felt it was going to get better, a parent has a right to be angry too. Mm. And even though you know there's going to be a better purpose to all of this, it's okay to feel the anger and the disappointment. Feel those things, but then move on from there at the time that you're ready to do it. And as you just, if you can do nothing more but just keep the knowledge that someday it's going to get better, and that's all I could do was just know that someday it would get better. I didn't think it was going to get this great because it really is a magical world. I mean, John talked about the things of why Joey was such a gift to him, but I met John because of Joey. John completely changed my life. And we've created this wonderful life together and this wonderful practice together. And the gratitude we have for and he hasn't stopped teaching us. We're still. And sometimes I say, Joey, okay, you can just like be kind of like normalish now because we've learned all we need to learn. Mm-hmm. And he's so wise. He knows better. What is normal? What is, you know, he's probably just thinking you're the one who's got to get more normal first.
You still got a lot of stuff to learn, buddy.
Well, let's fill in a little bit of the pieces for listeners in that the two of you operate a clinic in Wisconsin called Pathways. Pathways Medical and
Holistic Health Center,
where you treat people with all sorts of maladies. I mean, I know that you specialize in autism, but you have cancer and all sorts of people coming in.
Anything that's chronic, mm-hmm. that's what we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And you use all sorts of different modalities to do so.
Correct. Correct. It's adding things all the time.
Mm.
Because the neat thing is, when you're open to learn, new things present every day.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to work, it's not really work, it's play. I get to learn something every day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
If not two or three or four things.
And you were a traditionally trained medical doctor, mm-hmm. 30 right. years or so in medical
yep.
practice. And,
yep. One day I woke up. Literally.
It was more than a day.
Right. Well, it was over time. But I started to question some things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to ask why, then you start getting in trouble. Because there's not a lot of answers to the whys.
Right.
You know, it's that... Well, this is the way it's been for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years.
Right.
So this is what it is.
We've only got about 7 minutes left, but I'm curious to ask you what you might say to other doctors that are listening that are perhaps beginning to open up their minds a little bit more to other... I mean, certainly we're in San Francisco, so we're kind of in a hotbed
right.
perhaps of that, perhaps more so than anywhere else in the country.
Right.
What insights might you share about... Because we're learning so much every day.
Well, I think one of the big pieces is to really look at what energy medicine is.
Mm.
Because we are energy. And that's what's going to heal us. It's not pills. It's not none of that stuff. You know, in an acute situation, you need a medication, you need this, you need that. It helps the acute situation. But for the chronic pieces, for the real emotional pieces, which is everything,
mm-hmm.
you have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have to wake up and start to ask ourselves some questions. What is what we're doing? We're giving Band-Aids. And we're not really making anyone responsible or teaching anyone how to start to heal themselves. And we need to do that. So, you know, from a medical perspective, you've got to start to ask why. You've got to look at things differently. And I think it's changing that whole paradigm of now what is wrong, what is really going on, what's causing the symptom and why, and now how do I help that?
Mm. It seems intuitively to be the only sustainable solution is
right.
to re-empower the individual, to re-empower that reality that we have.
Well, if we want our healthcare system to stay afloat, we're going to have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's going to sink itself the way it is.
Right. Well, I mean, part of the good news, I just started working at a medical clinic here in the city, and it's just so refreshing to see doctors. They weren't trained in the holistic stuff, but they're starting to see, I see a lot of digestive people, you know, because mm-hmm. with the fact that I do nutrition, what comes in contact with the gut every single day? It's food. So food, it can make or break the gut. And so there's so many digestive people that have come through that the doctors realized they couldn't do anything about and started seeing me over on the sidelines getting some results, and now they're really intrigued, and now they're not necessarily doing the nutrition part themselves, but we're working together. So,
right.
you know, they're doing certain testing and I'm doing certain nutrition pieces and we're all working together and we have an acupuncturist, and it's really a great way because we need acute care. We need, if you,
right.
you know, you cut your, you know, finger or something, you need someone to
right.
help with those. Those
exactly.
are important. And we also know that that's not enough, that we need all these other pieces, and they can have a profound impact. And so I think that it's really great that there are a lot of really open-minded doctors that are waking up, and I really feel that it's a powerful synergy because,
oh,
you know, I had a person come to me for some pretty serious digestive stuff, and, you know, the first relief he ever got in, like, a couple years was with the nutrition work. But we still had a lot of work to do. So I got to bring, you know, I brought in the doctor and we ran certain things. And I brought in the naturopath and they knew certain things. And then he started doing acupuncture because that was helping him relax. And he was realizing that was helping. And, you know, all of this together is really helping him. Plus, he's feeling supported. So his nerves are calming down, is anxiety about the issue, which of course has a big, your belief system on your right. ability to get better. So I really think it's really the wave of the future, which is all of us being one, working together with all right. of the different components that we each have and really right. helping. And I think that, you know, that's sort of a key message for the individual, which is ultimately you are responsible for your health and you are the guide to creating a team of people that you want to help you. There's all sorts of different energy medicine and all sorts of medical medicine and all sorts of things. And you ultimately need to be in charge and say, this is what I want. And like Betsy said, you might not know the answers, but just have hope that there are answers and put out there that you want to find someone with answers. Mm-hmm. And you'd be amazed at how you find people. I mean, you know, Martin and I met in the grocery store. You meet random people at random places if you ask the questions.
But they're not random.
Right, exactly.
That's the point.
That's right.
So if your intention is to meet them,
mm-hmm.
they will show up.
Right.
They will show up.
Yeah.
Well, as was mine, to meet Julie months before, I wrote down that intention very specifically, and she showed up in my life within 3 months.
Mm. Right.
And so I wholeheartedly believe
that. But you didn't say it had to be at a movie theater or,
no.
you know, you
no.
have to be open to where it is, and yeah. it's a grocery store.
Yeah, because we get caught in this dilemma of thinking that we have to know how.
Right.
Right. I personally know that's my downfall is that I get focused in how. I don't know how.
Right.
And then that gets me caught in this illusory loop that it's not going to happen because I don't know how.
Right.
When in the moment I stop that chatter and go back and look at everything that's played out wonderfully in my life and go, it all just happened. It followed my intention. I had a belief. I put it out there and it did show up and it never does show up in however I could have conjured how.
Right.
So how do I let go of how? And right. you know, these are just what we keep talking about week after week on the show and intending to further empower our listeners to embody the realization that all positive change begins with them. In their minds, in their bodies, how they begin to look at things. And it's our right. purpose of doing this show week after week to help to keep flipping that back in towards the inner self.
And it's encourage them.
Encourage inside.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's empowering to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the power has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You do have the power.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us today
Thanks
in the
for
show.
Having me.
Yes, both of you.
It's amazing how little I talk. Are you guys surprised? I have the biggest voice typically, and I'm. But it was nice to be able to sit back. You were wonderful to be with.
Well, we've been able to spend an hour here today with Dr. John Hicks of Pathways Medical and Holistic Health Center in Devlin, Wisconsin. Devlin, Wisconsin, and Betsy Hicks, his wife, and Betsy is
Director.
Also a. The director of Pathways, and she's also a diet counselor and has been working a lot with autism for many, many years now. We've connected with them through the Autism One conference, and we're just so happy to have them here today.
And we're going to be doing the Autism One conference again this coming up April.
Julie, I'm so excited.
So if anybody wants to know more about what we're talking about and how we're applying diet, you can go to autismone.com and find out more about that.
Now, this show and all past shows of Reality Sandwich are available for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a clinical medical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living, and I'm here today with Julie.
I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant, and you can tune in every Thursday at noon for a palatable taste of the truth on Reality Sandwich. So thanks for listening.
We'll be back next week.
Hypocritical people who know a poverty across the world.